Weekly segment with Mickey Spagnuolo, DallasCowboys.com. Brought to you by Centex Rehabilitation and Miller Lite.
Cowboys and Redskins on Sunday. Washington, man, all of a sudden, first half you look up and go, who are these guys? 17-0. Then eventually Carson Wentz got rolling. Case Keenum played pretty well. Washington, you know, that's probably about who you thought they were going to be. The game was high scoring. But now it's Dallas and Washington at FedEx. Cowboys look so impressive in their win against the Giants. Mickey, this Cowboys and Redskins rivalry, you wrote a book about it. I mentioned this yesterday. It just doesn't have any buzz anymore, does it?
Well, I bet it has buzz up in the nation's capital because they still think this is a big deal up there, especially when the Cowboys are coming to FedEx Field. So, yeah, from a national standpoint, and, you know, these guys are so young here on this Cowboy team, they don't know much about what took place in the 80s. Heck, they probably barely know what took place in the 90s, let alone thinking about the 70s when this whole thing got started. So, yeah, I mean, to these guys here, it's just another game. I don't know that it means any more or any less than any other division game. They understand the division part of it. And as Jason Garrett pointed out today, David, it's like your first goal every year is to win the division, and the best way to win the division is win your division games. And the Cowboys did go 5-1 last year.
Yeah, in fact, I don't know. I think somebody else earlier this week mentioned this to us, but it seems like for the last several years, the Cowboys' record in the NFC East, even the year that they didn't make the playoffs, has been real good.
No, they have, and that's why, you know, one of the reasons why they've won that division two of the last 3 years and three of the last 5 years. So they've been the team that's been the most consistent in the NFC East. Now, I understand they didn't win a Super Bowl like the Eagles did, but the Eagles haven't won the division title three of the last 5 years. So this is an important game to not only get off to a 2-0 start, but to get off to 2-0 within the division.
Yeah, it is. All right, so you saw who the Cowboys are offensively with Kellen Moore, and the joke around everywhere has been he'll be inducted into the Cowboys Ring of Honor by October. What really was the difference, in your opinion, with what you saw Sunday night compared to what they've done in recent years?
I used a slogan today: better ingredients, better pizza, better players, better team. Think about this, David. Do you realize who the starting wide receivers were last year in the season opener? Do you even remember?
Cole Beasley.
Starting two.
I don't know. Well, Gallup didn't start, did he?
Terrence Williams and Deontay Thompson.
The Green Bay Packers guy.
And followed up by Allen Hurns, and then Beasley was the third guy in the slot. None of those guys are here. And two of them, the two starters, I don't think they're in the league. So think about that. Think about how they started the year and now where they are with Amari Cooper, Michael Gallup, no longer a rookie and is, you know, leading the NFC in receiving yards after one game, second in the NFL, and Randall Cobb with 8 years of experience going into this game. It's just miraculously different. Think about the tight ends. You know, Jeff Swain, with all of his 9 catches, was the top tight end last year, backed up by two guys who hadn't played in the NFL. Now you got Jason Witten and Blake Jarwin with a year of experience under his belt. You got Travis Frederick back at center. So to me, this makes it a lot easier. Now I know, you know, Kellen Moore is getting all the credit for everything they accomplished, and he did do a good job. And I like some of the wrinkles he had for this offense. But you can come up with all the wrinkles you want. If you don't have the players and you don't have the ability, it ain't going to work. So this team was better, and I think we saw this building towards the end last year. When they did go 7-1, everybody forgets that. They went 7-1 the last eight games after Amari Cooper showed up, after Michael Gallup started getting it as a rookie, after Blake Jarwin started getting it the first year he played. So, it makes a difference. And so combine that with a little bit more ingenuity on Kellen Moore's part, and you end up with a team that gained 494 yards and scored five touchdowns in the season opener, even though Ezekiel had only basically played half the snaps. So now you've got him healthy, ready to go for this second game. And I say that because, you know, I know someone's going to say, well, he's only had six practices, but he had 37 snaps in a game. The game did more for him to get him ready for game two than any practice might, because when you go out to practice, I bet you don't get 37 snaps. You might not get 37 snaps the whole week. So he should be ready to go. So they've got a good thing going here. As long as they can, you know, the offensive line plays the way it did, and they don't get carried away with themselves.
You know, it everybody has new bells and whistles that they acquire in the offseason. Some teams, it's to maybe just to make some a difference between pretty good and good, or teams that want to be elite. But you add Randall Cobb, he scored. Witten comes back, he scored. Of course, he could have walked in, and that was an easy touchdown, but he scored. Zeke's out for the entire preseason and training camp. He scored. And now he's not a toy. He's not a new toy. It just seemed like everything that was kind of new, Gallup, of course, had a huge game because everyone's also worried about everybody else, but he's good enough to have his own good game. It's Travis Frederick's a new toy again because, heck, he was gone last year.
That's right.
How much does it help that some of those guys contributed right away? And not just because they scored a touchdown. It could have been better stats. But that just seemed like all of the pieces fit into the puzzle.
Yeah, and you can have a balanced offense, and I think that's the beauty of it, because what the Giants tried to do, they tried to load the box. They still were worried about Ezekiel Elliott. Well, they lost the bet because then Dak beat you. The wide receivers beat you. Now, what are the Redskins going to do? I don't know. You know, when the Cowboys went up there last year, they only scored 17 points. And that was in the midst of that 3-5 starting till they kind of turned it around. So, yeah, when you have all those parts together and you can be balanced and you can basically take what the defense has given you, and I know that's a tired cliche, but really, what are the Redskins going to do? Are they going to still load up against the run? Are they going to sit back against the pass? Or do they think they have a good enough defense? And they might, by the way. To just play it straight and say, okay, we're going to play you straight up. Let's see what you can do. But the Cowboys' offensive weapons and the different things they can do can hurt a team. Now, having said that and understanding about the offensive coordinator, if you look at a couple of those touchdowns, it was like, what were the Giants doing? They didn't do nothing fancy on the Jarwin touchdown. All he did was line up tight to the line of scrimmage as a tight end, and he released straight. He didn't even act like he was going to block, and no one picked him up. Nobody. You know, the same thing happened with the Randall Cobb touchdown. He lined up in the left slot. They were only in three wide. There was no motion, and all he did was run up the field, and no one covered him. I was talking to him today. I said, have you ever been that wide open for a touchdown pass? And he goes, probably, but it's been a while. Mm-hmm. And then on the Amari Cooper, the only thing they did in the Amari Cooper touchdown was they motioned Cobb out of the slot on the left, sent him over to the right, and all Cooper did is run a nine route. And he got one-on-one coverage with a rookie cornerback. And Dak dropped a dime on him for a touchdown. So, and then you mentioned the Witten touchdown. I mean, that's just a normal play, right? You get close to the goal line, you run a little play action, bootleg to the right, and, you know, the poor safety or the linebacker's got to decide, are you running the ball or, oh, no, they're going to throw a pass to the tight end who acted like he was blocking. So from a scoring standpoint, they didn't do much fancy, but I'll tell you the one thing I did like. I liked the fact that they pushed the pace and used a little bit more no-huddle offense than we're used to seeing. And they pick their spots when to use it. And I thought it was key that after a big play, a chunk play down the field, nobody was standing around celebrating. They were running to the line of scrimmage and get off another play. And as a matter of fact, Kellen Moore pointed out today that some of the no-huddle was up to Dak. Like, if he felt like, okay, let's go, let's get to the line of scrimmage, he's got the play in his helmet, and we don't need to huddle. We're not going to change personnel. Let's go. So I thought that was good that they dictated pace like that against the Giants.
Did they allow him to audible much the first 3 years?
I think he did some. You know, and when you say audible, and you know this, it's like, okay, we got this run called. Well, that box doesn't look good. Let me change to the other pass play. It's not like he goes to the line of scrimmage and, you know, kind of has a Rolodex of plays and decides what he's going to call. So normally you have contingencies on plays once you get to the line of scrimmage. I didn't see him change very much. I thought he might have changed the play on Cooper's touchdown, but Kellen Moore told me no. He goes, we got the look we were looking for, and so he was just getting everybody set. And like I said, all they did was send the guy in motion to the other side, and they left the Giants with a single safety high who couldn't help the cornerback. So, yeah, I mean, he can change things if he wants, but I think he sees things a lot better now and can make that small adjustment at the line of scrimmage. Plus, and you mentioned it, Travis Frederick's back there, so that's one less deal he has on his plate because he can trust the offensive, the center, to take care of the line calls.
How much do the backup linemen play in a regular game like that?
Unless somebody gets hurt or unless you're up by 40 points,
yeah.
Hardly at all. And the one thing they did was it was like, you know, they've been keeping an eye on Zach Martin, didn't want to overdo it. And so once they got the 25-point lead, it's like, okay, big boy, you're done. Go sit down. But then they all asked to go back in on the last play when they were going to kneel out the clock because they wanted to get in victory formation and honor the Cowboys' how they set up the offensive line to kneel when they would go up and down. And so that was pretty cool. And they all insisted they were going back in for the kneel down.
Okay. Now, Mickey you know, it's the Redskins in the first half against Philadelphia looked kind of like who they were last year early, where they started out like 5-2 or what was it, 5-3, 5-2, whatever it was, and then they started to have injuries around the offensive line, and that was without Trent Williams, who's a very good player who's not even a part of the team right now. I don't know how they protect Keenum. I watch him enough. I'm very, very, as you know, open-minded about what I see and what I don't see. They do have a lot of pieces on defense, but without Jonathan Allen, that hurts a lot. Your thoughts about what you see, what you know, and what you expect from them?
Yeah, from watching last week, that second half, when things kind of got carried away, I would think the Cowboys have to be able to get pressure on Keenum. And you mentioned Trent Williams not there. They picked up Eric Flowers, who the Giants didn't want anymore. They moved him to guard. I'm not sure how that's working out. You've got Donald Penn at the other tackle position and Morgan Moses, who I think got called for a couple holds in that game on Sunday. So, you know, other than Brandon Scherff and the center, Chase Ruhler, that offensive line looks pretty spotty to me. And, you know, I guess we'll see what Adrian Peterson has. You know, he wasn't active. They didn't think he was good enough to have him active in the first game. Now they lose Darius Geis for at least 6 weeks. He had his knee scoped today. I like that Thompson kid, Chris Thompson. Mm-hmm. He looks like he could be pretty dangerous. So, to me, I think the key thing for the Cowboys will be get pressure on Case Keenum and make sure the rookie Terry McLaurin doesn't hurt you the way he hurt the Eagles early in that game.
Now, what was your thought about how the Eagles handled what was an adversity? And because it seemed like it's going to come down to Dallas and Philadelphia over the long haul, and it's a marathon, not a sprint, but the addition of DeSean Jackson back with Philadelphia, where he once was so dynamic, and what he now brings to that offense.
Yeah, and he may be 32 years old, but he's running like he's still 22.
Mm-hmm.
So that does scare you. And the Cowboys know all about it, right? They've had trouble with him back when he was with the Redskins. They had a lot of trouble with him, by the way. So, again, the way to minimize that trouble is to get pressure on the quarterback. And, you know, the downside there after the first game is the Cowboys only had one sack. Now, it was a big one. It was a big play that kind of kept them in the lead. But they got to do a better job of getting pressure on opposing quarterbacks. They got close a few times, but, you know, close not counting in sacks. So they got to do a better job there. But you're right about the Eagles. I still think it's going to come down to those two teams and which one can dominate the division games and who beats the other. Because the difference last year was the Cowboys won two close games against the Eagles. One had to go into overtime, and, you know, and the Eagles finished a close second.
Thank you, man. Mickey Spagnola, Cowboys Redskins at FedEx Field up in Washington, D.C.